Well, that's an exciting, uplifting word for today. It's a strong worded part of Scripture in the Old Testament, and it's an important one as we think about what we're going to talk about today, but it's one that's kind of like a bit of a gut punch Scripture. And the Bible is a beautiful book of God's love story with us, but there are parts of it that can be a little bit abrasive and uncomfortable because God is correcting and rebuking and instructing us at times. You know, don't misunderstand that teaching when he says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. He's talking specifically about the temple. In that case, you know, coming to church, we call this the house of God, but really God's dwelling place is within us, right? And we are in a different era and time. Yet, there's some wisdom, literally Ecclesiastes is considered wisdom literature in the Bible, about that comes from this passage of Scripture. And one of the things we're going to, as we continue in prayer this morning, last couple weeks, I talked about the Lord's Prayer and focused on the phrase that Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray." I talked about how you should pray. Prayer is an important part of our Christian walk. But today, I want to look at the paragraph that comes directly before the Lord's Prayer. And we're going a bit backwards in Scripture because Jesus starts, before he says the Lord's Prayer, he starts with a couple phrases that say, "And when you pray, do not." And so there's this lesson before the Lord's Prayer about ways not to pray. And the reality is that Scripture contains a few instructions in these words of Jesus in this context about how not to pray. And so for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how to pray. We're also going to talk about how to pray, but by thinking about what is it that Jesus instructs us not to do and what do we learn from it? And if we look at what not to do, what does that tell us to do? And I think that what it does is gives us a glimpse into what does work instead of thinking about what does not. And so I'll read our scripture for today from Matthew 6, 5 to 8 says this. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, I want to pause for a minute and talk a little bit about Scripture as a whole and how you read the Bible for a second. Because when you read a passage like this or any passage of Scripture, it never stands alone. Because Scripture interprets Scripture and we use the context of the whole of the Bible to understand the Bible. We don't allow any one text to speak all authority by itself because it's never by itself. It's always within the whole message of Jesus and the whole truth of God's word. And so we have to be careful of that. And I'm going to talk about that a little later with some other passages on prayer. But right now, I want us to remember that when you read scriptures like this, like verse 6, it says, when you pray, go into your room. This is not an instruction that you can only pray in your room. Again, that would be taking that out of context of all the rest of Scripture that does speak about praying together and praying in public and those kind of things. He's not saying never do that, right? He's saying there's some wisdom to be gleaned from this and things to think about. I think what that is, right, in this case, is a response to people who are praying for attention seeking and things of that nature. So when we read the scriptures, remember that anytime you hear someone take one scripture and bring it out and try to blanket apply it to every situation, you should kind of caution yourself and go, wait, is that the only verse in Scripture that speaks on this topic? Are there other things that I need to remember as well? Because it's often about balancing the whole message of God's word, not one part of it. And I say that because this morning as I talk about how not to pray and a couple of these warnings, I'm going to think about what Jesus is saying here. We're going to dwell on that a bit today. I want you to understand that we understand that there's grace in all these things. If you make these mistakes, these are mistakes of people who are trying. You know what I mean? Like, have you? I coach jujitsu. I love jujitsu, and you know we do that here at the church. And there's sometimes where people do something, they do their very best, and it's not quite right, but they're trying. And I'm always like, great job, keep doing that, keep working on that, because I know that if they keep trying, it'll get better and it'll improve. So understand that while we look at some ways we might mess up, we also understand that if you're praying, that's a great thing. And so I would say that. That's why I started with how you should pray in the Lord's Prayer first. And if you're coming in today and this is your first in this series, I'd encourage you to go watch those. They're available for you to watch on YouTube and on our website. But I would love for you to make sure that you get that sense that prayer is such an important thing. And yes, we're looking at cautions today, but there's so much grace and for our mistakes and maybe when we pray in error. I'll talk about a few minor things throughout this message, but none of it is meant to be condemning or discouraging or maybe even for anyone to throw up their hands and go, well, I'm just not going to pray then because that's too much. In fact, I would say, and I will say, that as we look at the mistakes we make in prayer today, that's the first one and the biggest one. So the biggest mistake we can make is not catching the first part of this phrase. Jesus said, and when you pray, do not. Don't miss the and when you pray. The biggest mistake we can make is just not pray. To go, I can't pray. It's too complicated. In fact, prayer is just talking to God. It doesn't need to be perfect or flawless. So please don't hear me today and go, there's all these rules and expectations on how we pray. No, there's not. But I think it's worthy of addressing the whole context of Scripture. And in this case, Jesus brings attention to some things we should not do when we pray. And I think the first thing is he says to pray when you pray. William Cowper said, when Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his or her knees, right? And so we know that prayer is a powerful force. Alan E. Varlett said, 7 days without prayer makes one weak. Did you get it? There's a little pun there for you. And Matthew Henry said, you may as soon find a living man that does not breathe as a living Christian that does not pray. And the reality is that our life with Christ will be a dead and dying thing if we're not in communication. It's like the air we breathe. We speak to God. And Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. It is the greater work. And so prayer is a critical part of our relationship with God. And it takes our relationship with God from being this passive thing, we just believe and we go on living our lives, into a very real and active relationship with him. And without prayer, I would argue that there's really no relationship. It's like having a relationship with someone saying, oh, I love you, but I'm never going to talk to you. I never want to hear a word you say. I would argue that your relationship is very unhealthy if that's the case, right? Communication is a critical part of any relationship. And E.M. Bounds said, prayer is the contact of a living soul with God. And so we have this privileged relationship that we can have with God that is much more than just a belief. It is a connection and engagement and a communication with the God of this world. And so we're meant to foster a deep and meaningful relationship with God through prayer, not just prayer that always talks, but prayer that listens to the word of God, and we petition, we call it to God, and we worship him, and we praise his name as prayers, and all of those things are acts of communication with God. When we're listening to God, we are praying, as I shared a couple weeks ago. And so this relationship is key. But I asked myself as I was thinking about this, what are the things that keep us from praying? What is it that might get in the way of this, that cause us to make that critical mistake of just not praying? And I think one of the things that keeps us from prayer is being too busy. And we all are too busy, you know. So it kind of gets to that. Have you ever gotten to the point where you're just like, when anyone says you're too busy, I'm like, well, so am I. we're all in that. I mean, it's almost become that excuse that isn't an excuse anymore, because ultimately none of us have extra time to give much to anything. But the reality is that I would argue if you're too busy to pray, it's like being too busy to eat or too busy to breathe. Like we're missing out on a critical need in our lives. In fact, I would argue that you can accomplish more with your life in less time when you waste your time praying. Quote on that on purpose, right? Like it is not wasteful. You're not wasting time. In fact, if anything, you're energizing yourself up and you're preparing yourself to face life and to face the situations around you. What if prayer time, set aside time to dedicate to God in prayer, made all the difference. And what if we really believed that? And so the reality is that being too busy to pray might be making you feel more busy. It might actually be having the negative effect. But I do think that we can just feel rushed, and maybe we just need to set aside, start with 2 minutes a day in the shower or on your drive, turn all the noise off and just spend a few moments with God. Or when you're, put on some noise-canceling headphones, great tool these days to just shut out the world around you and have a conversation with God, even if it starts out for just a minute or two every day, and then grow that time with God as you can. Another reason people don't pray is they feel too guilty. This is probably the one that's in my life been the hardest to overcome. Have you ever just been in that situation where you kind of don't want to talk to God because you know you've screwed up or you know what he's going to say, right? Like, have you ever been like, oh, I had a friend one time ask me about something I was wrestling with. He said, have you prayed about it? And I sheepishly went, well, no, because I don't really want to hear what God has to say about it. And he said, come on, you've got to pray about it. So we prayed about it. And guess what? God told me to do what I didn't want him to tell me to do. I was afraid because I kind of knew what God already wanted. I already kind of knew what he was going to say. And I was running from that. And so sometimes we got to be, we got to fight that instinct that says, oh, if I go draw close to God, he's going to change me. He's going to ask me to do this or that. But those are good things. It's like going to someone for help. So, I think it's important. John Bunyan had a great quote on this. He said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Sin is any mistake, any disobedience, or any time we stray from God's best plan for our life. And so the temptation is when we're in sin is to kind of resist spending time with God because it makes us uncomfortable because we know God is going to challenge us. Like the scripture we read earlier can be a little bit of a challenge. So I think that's one of the things that gets in our way of prayer and one of the mistakes we can make. And the other one is just not having faith, not believing that prayer accomplishes anything, or feeling like it's a waste of time, a bit linked to being too busy. But the reality is that prayer is a critical part of our walk with Christ. And if you're not praying, you're not breathing, you're not going to be spiritually alive, then it always boggles my mind when people come to me and say, oh, I just don't feel close to God. I don't feel like God's with me. I don't know if I even feel I believe in him anymore. And they start wrestling with all this. And the first question I'll ask is, are you spending any time in prayer? And are you spending any time in the Word, which is prayer? And almost always the answer is very little or no. Almost always when you're struggling spiritually, it's linked to this. E.M. Bounds said, no learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gifts will supply its lack. If you're missing something, if you're wanting a more vibrant, exciting spiritual relationship with God, it's going to start in prayer. And so the biggest mistake of all, beyond all the rest we're going to look at, is not to pray. We need to be people of prayer. And I'm proud to say I love that I see our church as a place where people pray, often between services and after services. I see people gathering to pray with one another. And we're even working on having a little bit of a team prepared on occasion for services. So when you have a prayer need, you can come and ask. But the truth is, anytime you have a need and you want someone to pray, most people out there are happy for you to say, hey, will you pray with me? But the staff and the pastors are always willing for you to come and ask us to pray with you anytime. The next part is just expanding on that sentence. And the first comment Jesus makes in this is, he says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. And so the mistake number two is when we start seeking the attention of the world, the horizontal starts coming into our prayers. When we want the attention of others in our prayers, a hypocrite, was actually reflecting on even the acting and things of that day. Someone who pretended to be something they're not was a hypocrite. And in this case, Jesus is reminding the people that he wants authenticity in our prayer life. He doesn't want us to be performing. Prayer is never a performance. And you can hear it, can't you, when someone starts performing a prayer versus just speaking and praying to God. Now, don't misunderstand. I think some people can pray very well with very great tone and quality and great words, and that's not they're not showing off. They're just really good at it. Like, that's good. Like, there's nothing wrong with being good at praying and speaking, and that's not a problem. But the reality is that it should never slip into performance kind of actions, right? We always need our prayers to be directed toward God, toward the vertical, never the horizontal. And the reality is that this can happen subtly and over time and slowly. And if you pay attention, which I kind of do as a pastor, I notice these things, you'll notice that sometimes our attention starts on God and then it drifts this way. And it starts becoming attentive to the world. And it can happen in the way we preach, but it can also speak. It can happen in the way we pray, and it can also happen intentionally when we start speaking to the room instead of remembering that we're speaking to God and only God. God is the only audience in prayer. Now, you might say, well, there's people listening. Yes, but together we are speaking to God. It's always got to be going this direction. And I think it's a mistake when we begin to pray horizontally, when we start speaking to the room and not to God. Again, be careful not to judge too quickly here, because sometimes people are genuinely and passionately praying, and these things happen. I would never call someone out, you know, directly for doing this, but I remind you today that when we're seeking the attention, and remember, attention seeking doesn't always mean bragging and showboating. It's when the attention comes off of God and onto me or onto the world. It's not necessarily done in arrogance or showboating kind of mentality. Sometimes it's just mistaking that he's the center of attention. And so let's make sure that prayer is never about seeking the attention of people, but always going to God. So vertical prayer is when all eyes are on God, when all attention is upon him, and all in unison together when we pray in public or in private places, we remember that we are speaking to God, the God of all things. When we pray horizontally, we lower our gaze. We start to fix our eyes on the world and its temptations and problems. And it's confusing to people. And remember that sometimes when we pray, and I, you know, could even be today, there could be people here for the first time at church, and you may not understand. I think it confuses people when we start praying to God, and then it turns horizontal, and it starts to be within, you know, having a conversation to each other, or someone starts preaching, you know, their agenda, and start, you know, telling people how to vote, and all this kind of like, whoa, hold on, we're talking to God, let's keep it to God. You know, preaching has its place, and you may have an opportunity to speak into the lives of others and share your thoughts and opinions, but prayer is never the time to do so. That's overstepping your task and your role when it's time to pray. And so we make sure that we don't draw attention to self, to each other, to the horizontal, and always keep our attention on God. He says they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. And then the response to this that I mentioned earlier is, he says, if this is your temptation, if you're struggling with this mistake, if you tend to, you know, let's be honest, tend to like the sound of your own voice, or you tend to want to be the center of attention, or it's all about you prayers, or it becomes difficult to give God all the attention, then it's time to take a step back and let others lead for a while. Not saying you can't come back into that role, but he says if this is something you're doing, then go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. So the instructions from Jesus are to remember, hey, if you are starting to look for the attention of the world or performing your prayers, then humbly step back and say, God, I need to spend time focusing on you and remembering what counts the most. So sometimes the right thing to do is to give others the opportunity to pray. And this can come across sometimes unintentionally when people just, I want to just add a little. When you're praying in public, please be okay with silence. Please, and I'm telling you this as a plea for some people who have said to me many, many times, I've heard this many times, I don't pray because no one ever leaves a gap big enough for me to pray. And there's some of us, I'm one, who jump right in as soon as there's silence. There's a moment of silence, like we can get uncomfortable with that. Give space, give room, give silence. It's okay when you're praying together, and don't panic if other people do. Like, you don't need to jump. In fact, when it's silent is a great time to say, God, is there something I should pray for now? Is there something I should speak out? Is there something I should do? The other thing is sometimes people pray, people who are good at prayer, pray so much that there's nothing left on the list, right? Like, it's all been prayed for. Have you ever been that person? You're like, you wanted to pray, and then someone prayed first, and it's like, well, they covered it all. So sometimes be careful to always be the one praying and give other people that opportunity to pray. The next part where Jesus cautions us is let's get this remote going there. Prayer mistake three is the babbling prayers. He says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. You don't see this too much in the Wesleyan church. It comes from pagan teaching where, in Jesus' day, where there was a lot of repetitious kind of chanting out, the same things over and over again, as if that would somehow get their God's attention. And you can go read about that in the story in Kings about the prophets of Baal. And it was kind of one of those habits that they got into, just chanting and chanting and chanting and repeating the same phrase over and over. And sometimes you'll see that in the church where people will get really, really repetitive and babble on and on and on. I think the point here that Jesus is trying to say is that that's not what makes your prayers more effective. C.H. Spurgeon said this, and I love it. He says, true prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great length. And we've all seen that, right? I mean, I've witnessed people in deep grief who don't know what to say as they're just facing this insurmountable pain, and they just cry out to God and groans and moaning and wailing and weeping, and you just realize that prayer has so much more depth to it than maybe simple words. And I call back to Ecclesiastes that says, don't be hasty with your words. Let your words be few as we think about coming to God. He says they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. The truth is that God wants to hear your heart, not just many words. It's not about getting, you don't have to overcome God's reluctance to hear you. You don't have to like chant at him and like scream and get his attention. He's listening. He's paying attention. In fact, in verse 8, it says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He's already listening. He's already aware. You don't need to tell him like he's unintelligent or stupid and can't hear you the first time, right? We have to be careful of projecting. And here's why I get concerned about this. I think sometimes that's the God we show the world. That I think people who didn't grow up in the church can sometimes hear prayers and go, man, God must be stupid. He can't hear. Like you had to tell him 16 times that same thing, So we have to be careful when we pray. We serve an all-knowing God. In Scripture, pagans repeated the names of their God, like I said, in 1 Kings, and they said the same words over and over without thought or attention or focus. They were mindless, mechanical repetitions and not earnest repetition. That, there is biblical concepts of repetition in Scripture, but it tends to be, in Mark, it talks about Jesus praying the same prayer again. He taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, which we pray again and again. And it's not mindless repetition. It's intentional saying of the same prayers. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that he plead for the Lord to take away the thorn in his side three times. It's not 33 times that he didn't. He just prayed, but he did pray repeatedly for the same thing. It's not, in other words, we're not saying that it's wrong to be repetitive. There's a point where repetitive starts to get weird and odd and unnatural, and it becomes mindless, or as if the repetition itself is what matters most. We want to present our heart to an all-knowing God who knows and hears us. And so repetition is okay, but remember, we're not somehow making our prayers stronger by just babbling on and 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 on. I was tempted to show a clip of a comedian that I love named Tim Hawkins. He's a really funny Southern comedian. Some of you know who Tim Hawkins is. He has a bit on prayer. It's hilarious. And one of the things he talks about is like, sometimes when we pray to Jesus, we're like, Father, Father, Jesus, Jesus, you know, we just kind of say, Father, 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 1,600 times. Like, come on. He's like, you wouldn't talk to a person like that. You wouldn't go up to someone and just repeat their name 1,600 times. And sometimes that's just because we don't know. Again, remember, there's grace. I understand. I mess up. These are just some weird things we do sometimes as Christians. We follow some of these interesting habits and patterns. All I'm saying is those aren't the keys to effective prayer. Don't be misled into thinking that somehow repetition is what prayer is all about. No, prayer is about more than that. So here's where I want to go with this. What is it that does make our prayers effective? I think this is the key. Rather than thinking that repeating something over and over is going to work, here's what works. In James, we read about the prayer of faith. I'm going to skip right down to verse 15, where it says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And so he talks about calling the elders of the church together and praying over things. In other words, prayers of faith are key to making our faiths heard, our prayers heard. If you want your prayers to be effective, pray in faith. What does that mean, though? Well, first of all, before we talk about that, I want to clarify something about this verse of Scripture, going back to what I said earlier. Scriptures like this, and our prayer team talked about this a little bit, is scriptures like this can be taken out of context. And we're going to look at this a little more next week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But when he says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well, there's actually a little, I think, a better interpretation of this. Remember, our English interpretations are our best attempt to take ancient Greek and bring it into English. The reality is that I think a better translated version in the last line is something like this. Such a prayer offered in faith will save you and the Lord will raise you up. That's the implication of the verse. It doesn't specifically mean that you will always be healed if you offer your prayers in faith. What it's saying is that you will be saved and rescued, but the rescue won't always come in the way we want it to come. In fact, Christ has already rescued us on the cross, and you could say that's already accomplished. And the Lord will raise you up. Maybe that he gives you the strength to endure your difficulty rather than erasing the problem altogether. We know that God doesn't erase all problems just because you pray about them. And to take that verse out of context and imply that kind of principle is really theologically messed up. So let's not do that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. What we have to understand here, though, and I didn't want to just ignore this key aspect of what it means to pray, is that we need to pray in faith. So what does it mean to pray in faith? It means that we accept that God is good, and we accept the greatness of his answers and his will in advance of him doing it. In other words, when we pray in faith, we're saying, God, no matter what you do, I know you are good, and I know it is your best decision in this situation. Praying in faith doesn't mean you don't have any doubts. It doesn't mean that you doubt that God will answer your prayer the way that you would like it to be, because sometimes that's reasonable. It means you have no doubts that God is good and that God knows best and God will do the right thing because he's always right. So it's not faithless to pray knowing God's answer may not be yes for what you're asking for. In other words, I will always pray for God's healing for you if you ask me to, and I can pray in faith and still not be sure that God is going to actually heal your body because he doesn't always heal our body. But I can still pray in faith because God is good and God can. And so we ask. But his answer might be no. The healing he might offer might be eternal healing in heaven one day after we pass through this life. But he will save you and he will raise you up, which is the critical thing we always need. So we pray in faith, but James also says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. In 5:16, he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. It's an incredible verse. But what does it mean to be a righteous person? Right? Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. So we know that it's not our babbling prayers that get God's attention. It's our faith and our righteousness. Now, understand that righteousness is a gift from God, and it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, what James just said to do, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What this means is that righteousness is imparted to us by Christ and what he did on the cross when we call out to him and confess our sins. And so the way we become righteous is confessing our sin before God and asking for him to forgive us for our sins. That's it. It's not about being perfect. It's not about doing the right thing all the time. It's about going to God and admitting that you need him to purify you from all unrighteousness. Yes, we try to walk in that righteousness and live it out and be obedient to that. That's a critical part of our faith. I'm not denying that, but that's not where righteousness begins. Righteousness starts with confession. And a clean heart, prayers that are powerful and effective come from people who say to God, I need you, and I confess you. This is why I began the service this way, because I know I can't preach on my own strength, and I don't want to. And I needed to confess that I needed God, and we need to be doing that together. It starts with confession. So when we pray, when you pray, I would encourage you to come to God with a clean and clear heart, confessing any known sin or any way that you're doubting or fearing, even you know those things we talked about earlier. You can come to God and say, God, I didn't want to bring this to you because I'm scared of what you're going to say. He can handle your doubts. He can handle your fears. He can handle your questions. But confess them before the Lord. And the last mistake we can make, it's kind of implied here, is to pray without listening, right? When we're babbling, it's about too many words, talking too much. Have you ever been, you know, in a conversation with someone and you're like, I know they can't hear a word I say because they're either speaking or thinking about what they're going to say next, right? You can physically sense that when someone's just not listening. And if we go to God in this way, if our prayer life becomes that way, I'm afraid it's going to, you know, really critically disable our prayer lives. Perhaps, in my opinion, this would be the second greatest mistake to not praying at all, would be to pray, talk at God, and then run away without ever stopping to hear what God might have to say in response to your prayers. What if God wants to answer your prayer right then and there in that moment, and you're too quick to run away for him to speak to your heart? Often people say, well, I don't know how to listen to God. And you're right, it can be a very difficult thing that takes time and attention and practice. But we need to remember to listen more than we speak. It's great to bring our petitions and our needs to God, but prayer needs to be an act of listening. And yes, listening to his word, listening to his voice. You can even listen to other people's praying. There's lots of ways we can listen for God, but just being quiet before the Lord and seeing if he responds to your heart. But you're never going to hear God speak if you never give him an opportunity to speak. And we've all been in relationships like that where the person just doesn't give you a chance to speak. I'm encouraging you to with God, not to have that kind. Don't be that person. It's often not intentional. In fact, many of the times we do this unaware. We think that praying is just this kind of, okay, here's my list, God. Amen, and we run off and do our thing, but prayer doesn't end with amen. It doesn't end when we're done talking. Prayer ends with listening, and even begins with listening. Remember what we read at the beginning of our time. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. I'm going to invite the team to come up. It's evil to make mindless offerings to God. That's the babbling on, right? The mindless offerings, just kind of randomly say things or babble on to God. He says, don't make rash promises and don't be hasting in bringing matters before God. In other words, take your time. Be intentional. Think about it. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth. And I love this last line. It says, so let your words be few. Let your words be few. And what letting our words be few means is that we recognize that God has better things to say to us than we have to say to God. He already knows the prayers. Your Father already knows exactly what you're going to say before you ask him. Your words are not the effective part. Do you get that? Like, think about that for a minute. What you say is not the effective part of prayer. Isn't that cool? You can just think it. You can have it on your heart, and God knows it before you've even said it. And so listening prayer takes practice and patience and time, and you're going to need to allow times of silence and solitude and meditation on God's word if you want to become someone who listens for the voice of God, and that is not going to come instantly. You're going to have to step it up. And so wherever you're at in your prayer life, I would say take the next step, no matter how small it is, if it's 1 or 2 minutes in the word or a quiet for, if you can only handle a minute of silence, then start with a minute and build that into your prayer life. It might be the very thing that changes everything. So as we pray, let's be careful not to make these critical mistakes of not praying or of seeking our own attention or beginning to let our prayers go from the vertical to the horizontal. Let's keep our attention on God and God in focus. And let's not babble on. Let's pray in faith and righteousness, the righteousness imparted to us by Jesus because of his death on the cross. And then let's be listeners. Let's let our words be few because God already knows what's on your heart. He wants to be with you. Have you ever just been with someone you love and just sat in their presence and it's just an awesome thing? Start to foster that same connection with God. I want more of that. I hope you do too. We're going to sing this song, and I'm going to encourage you in this song to respond however you need. The song's called Let My Words Be Few. And so sometimes we don't have to say anything. We just have to be in his presence. That's a form of prayer, and it's a good form of prayer. So before you bring your needs before God, just thank him for who he is. Give him praise and worship him. And that's what we do often when we sing together. And so I'd encourage you today not to come with many words, but to come with a heart ready to hear what God would say to you. Even in, during the song, if you choose not to sing, that's fine. We're going to have a prayer together in just a few moments. And I would invite you to join in that process. But right now, let's just listen. If you want to sing this as an act of listening and worship, that's okay too. But